morning, Greg. How are you doing? Yes, it is busy, and obviously we're facing into another weekend here, so lots of preparations ongoing.
Okay, so what is the situation at the moment as it relates to ICU, the hospital, generally speaking, the level of COVID cases? What can you tell us?
Okay, well, at the moment, we're operating well within our capacity limits in ICU, and we're also operating within our capacity limits for COVID inpatients or patients who we have concerns may have COVID. Again, we've seen our numbers increase steadily, but at a manageable level over the last 10 days, 2 weeks. And as I said when we spoke previously, Greg, every 24 hours allows us to be better prepared. I'm very, very glad to say that we haven't had an uncontrollable surge, which was always the concern and anxiety. The flattening the curve appears to be working. And as we're still seeing continual increases in our numbers, but at a rate that allows us to manage that and get the best outcomes for patients. And my plea for everybody is, let's not take that as a sign to be complacent. We still have new patients coming in. We still have ongoing increases in the workload, but at manageable levels, and that's what we all want, not just as healthcare professionals, but in terms of the community, because being able to have the numbers coming in at a manageable rate optimizes the outcome for patients.
As I say, we have to balance giving people some hope and bringing good news also with the fact that this is still incredibly serious, and we can't be, as you say, we can't be blasé about this because a wave could come through. But people are very interested in knowing about recovery. So are people who came into the hospital with COVID-19 confirmed, are they in numbers getting better, leaving ICU and going back into the general population?
They are indeed, and Gather, you even had some of those former patients on your show earlier in the week. And yes, I mean, people are making a recovery, not just from ICU, but from the hospital. Like, are getting to a stage where they are well enough to be able to continue on their care and their recovery at home in self-isolation. Many patients are doing well, and very sadly, some people within our community have passed away, and my condolences to those families, because it's a very difficult time for those families, particularly with the restrictions and funerals, etc. It can be very, 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 very difficult for them.
You don't have access to a Donegal number in terms of those who have sadly passed from COVID?
I don't at the moment.
Okay. What about managing capacity? As we heard earlier in the week, the likes of Galway University Hospital has much greater ICU capacity compared to Letterkenny. Are you still managing patients across the hospital network?
We are, I suppose, if you ask me, have we transferred any patients out in the last week, 10 days? No, we haven't. As I've explained previously, and as Tony Canavan explained on the show as well, we did, and at the early stages, as we were having significant numbers starting to come into ICU, took the decision to share some of that workload amongst the hospitals within Sale to predominantly Galway, one patient was in Sligo. And the objective of that was to ensure that we stayed well within, and I'm talking about well within, our capacity, so that we were keeping that less than 50% capacity. One of the difficult challenges for us all in this is always the uncertainty. I can say what's happened for the last few days. I can make assumptions that will be a pattern for the next few days, but they're assumptions, and we've always looked to ensure that whatever assumptions we made, we had the contingency and capacity that if those assumptions turned out to be underestimates of the demand on our services, we'd be able to meet that. At this stage, my my judgment on it is that we have the capacity to meet workload on the workload that we have got coming through to us. We've got the capacity to meet increased workload should it arise, and hopefully it won't, but if it should. And if there was, and if it seems unlikely, there's no evidence at this stage, but if there was to be a very serious surge, I have no doubt that between our capacity and the resilience of our staff, we would meet that head on.
Is it a tougher working environment currently for staff, or given the fact that the numbers are manageable? You know, obviously we've seen the horror stories, and even one person being ill is a horror story. Don't get me wrong in that regard. But are staff under extra pressure compared to a non-COVID environment?
They are, and I suppose in different areas and in different respects. So, you know, some of our many of our COVID patients need a lot of care, and that increases the workload for our staff. Working, you know, we've talked before about PPE. Working in PPE with gowns, masks, Tyvek suits, etc. That's actually much more draining on staff. It's heavier clothing to be wearing, and obviously, you know, if you're going around working with masks and visors and goggles, again, that takes its toll as well. So we try to ensure that staff get the necessary support so that they have time out of the PPE. So that all adds to the work pressures. And then there's many other departments. I've mentioned, you know, if you look at all the work our maintenance department has done, refashioning, putting in protective screens, etc. There's a lot of work going on there. Our finance and procurement departments, our PPE stores, people, you know, throughout the organisation, our HR department, there's a lot that's ongoing for very long hours in the day for many people.
Okay.
Our management team, you know, work extremely long hours and seven days a week. So it's pushing that through.
Sean, I think people concerned and caring of staff rather than concerned about the ability for the hospital to operate, a lot of people are asking the question in terms of, you know, how many staff had this or have this COVID-19 or are suspected of having so. Do you have a percentage on that, and how has it affected operations?
I don't have a definitive percentage, and I think even if I was in front of me at the moment, and if I was to give an estimate, it would be potentially misleading, because obviously there's a number of staff that contact us that are developing symptoms. We have a process through our occupational health department to identify those that are potential COVID patients, to arrange testing for staff where necessary. Where they meet the criteria, and are also given advice in terms of self-isolation and monitoring the symptoms.
And are they tested before they return to work?
We have a number of staff that are off at the moment. We have some staff that have been off and are back, and on any one day it fluctuates in terms of the you know, staff that contact us because they are concerned they may have symptoms or may have been in contact. Remember, it's not just contact within the hospital, it may be contact in the community, within their families, etc. And we have staff returning. So it is an ongoing fluid position. What I can say to you is that we record that daily, and it's fed back nationally twice a week, and the National Public Health Emergency Team will be monitoring levels of healthcare worker.
It'll feed into a national stat, really.
Yes, but what I would say is that you know, we've actually seen quite a number of staff that were again being monitored and off work, particularly early in the early stages as a result of travel, symptom free and back in work. So overall, we don't have an increase in number of staff on a daily basis at the moment.
Okay. And just in terms of testing, I know when we spoke to Mr. Hayes before, there was talk of, you know, testing being happening on site, already happening on site. Is it for specific instances, maybe staff, or is there testing going on for the general population locally?
So the community services have testing for the general population of the O'Donnell Park Centre, and obviously they have the assessment centre now established as well on the Kilmacrenna Road, and they can refer members of the public.
So our processing of testing,
Sean, before they meet the criteria, and we have a dedicated facility within the O'Donnell Park Testing Centre for all healthcare workers, and not just hospital.
Yeah, but in terms of are we testing samples locally at all?
Oh, sorry.
My question was phrased wrong.
Sorry. Okay. No problem. So the local we are testing samples locally, but the testing locally has been for healthcare workers and for patients at the moment. And general community samples continue to go national.
Understood. Right. Yeah. Now a couple of questions, if you don't mind, from Donegal Action for Cancer Care. What arrangements are in place during this virus crisis to ensure that cancer and other patients who are currently waiting their surgeries, procedures, etc., can access the treatment that they are now overdue?
Okay, so we've been working with our clinical teams to identify time-critical cancer, not just cancer, but any time-critical interventions, whether those are diagnostic tests, surgical interventions, outpatient reviews, etc. A lot of the outpatient work has been done through telephone reviews with patients and telephone consultations with patients. We have arrangements in place for patients who need on-site diagnostic tests that are time-critical for those to be undertaken. And we are doing an advanced stage and working within the SALTA group at setting up and establishing arrangements for surgery for time-critical but not immediate urgent surgeries to be undertaken. People who have got an immediate urgent surgical need continue to be operated and in the hospital. But obviously what we're balancing there is the urgency in terms of how quickly they need that surgery versus the risk of them coming into an environment where there's a risk of developing a COVID infection. So we're actually, as I say, working within the sales group to establish arrangements for all of those patients who have it need to be done in a timely manner but don't need immediate surgery.
Okay. Last question. We're told that there's a limited capacity in the oncology day ward at Letterkenny Hospital, and as a result, some patients have to wait a considerable time for follow-up treatments. Why is this, and what's being done to ensure these patients get seen?
Again, we've had challenges for some time in terms of the physical capacity and within the oncology, hematology day ward. As you're aware, we've steadily increased the number of consultant oncologists and hematologists in Letterkenny over the last number of years. And as our patient numbers and our staff numbers increase, that puts ongoing pressure on the physical size of our department. We've been managing that and continue to manage it through the COVID process. At the moment, the last update I had, which of course is a couple of days old now when I was speaking with the team, was that they were actually managing those necessary treatments very, very effectively, and they were happy that they had that under control. We have a process for patients who need to come in to actually, we're actually using the Medical Academy as a triage area to make sure that patients that are coming in are not do not have COVID infections and don't risk contaminating, and put special arrangements in place for patients where necessary.
Okay. Now, I understand that there's two sort of, I hope these two statements don't really conflict, in that, you know, we're being told that that the hospital's open for business. If people have other ailments, they'd normally attend the hospital, they should continue to do so, or at least the capacity is there. But you also say there is a risk for people who are coming in for procedures that they could be infected. Are those two different statements, or can they live together?
They live together, and what I need to be clear about, if a patient has a condition that needs treatment now, They need to present to the hospital. They need to be referred to by their GP to the hospital, or their specialist within the hospital, consultant specialist within the hospital will identify that they need immediate intervention. And we make arrangements either through our emergency department or through our other services such as hematology, oncology, surgical department, radiology department, etc., to ensure that those patients get the treatments that they need. What we are doing is saying that if there's patients that don't need immediate treatment, we are ensuring that we have processes in place and streams in place that they have it within the time that they need, clinically need it, but not to try to operate a full hospital with everybody coming in as normal in order to reduce the risk of infection within the hospital.
Okay. In terms of the donations from the community, what's happening in that regard? Is there anything that is needed?
I have to say that the community support has been absolutely overwhelming. It's been really, really positive. And I've said on several occasions, of all the hospitals I've worked in my years in healthcare, Letterkenny is one of the best embedded in the community. And we've seen that with the work of the Friends of Letterkenny Hospital over the years and the fundraising and contribution that they've made to the hospital. We saw it with the flood and we're seeing it again in this current crisis. The goodwill, good wishes that we've received from the community, cards, calls, etc., and donations and presents, whether it be toiletries, foodstuffs, etc. There's been so much given to the hospital and we're extremely grateful, and the staff really appreciate the support of the community for the staff and for the patients through this process. I suppose one key message I would say is that people who are looking, and I know there's been lots of discussion around issues around PPE, if members of the public or in the community that are looking to donate, make donations of items for clinical use or for use in a clinical environment. And I'm particularly thinking in terms of people who have talked about setting up fundraising for PPE or for masks or for scrub suits, etc. To please contact my office before they send in donations or fundraise. We need to ensure that anything we deploy into a clinical setting meets the appropriate specification for that deployment. And any proposed donations, we will liaise with our infection control team and our procurement experts to make sure they are of the appropriate specification.
Okay, very last question, and I hope this is not specific, but I was contacted by a very concerned listener, Sean, who said that their mother presented at the hospital or was sent to the hospital with nothing to do with COVID-19. She'd been in self-isolation or what have you, and she was asked if she had any issues with her breathing, and the breathing, by her own evidence, was not related to COVID-19. In other words, it was part of this other condition. And this woman was asked to go and sit or be located with other suspected COVID-19 cases because she had issues with her breathing, even though the family are incredibly confident that this was not why she had breathing difficulties. Can we presume that happened? And if so, why?
I'm not suggesting it didn't happen, but I'm not going to presume it happened. I'm not going to presume that I know the rationale.
Well, neither do I either, to be honest with you.
What I would say is that our clinical teams are doing an excellent job, and they've done an excellent job at triaging patients. In fairness, I have no doubt that we are on the side of caution. One of the major concerns we have as a hospital is that we don't increase the risk of cross-infecting patients, and that works both ways in terms of that lady, that patient that presented, not being infected, but also if they were COVID positive, not infecting. I'm quite happy for the family to contact my office, and we will look into that. but there is an algorithm, there's a pathway that's defined nationally to give us guidance in terms of how we stream those patients, and we follow that thoroughly.
All right. Listen, thanks. I know you're busy in between meetings. Is there anything you want to add before we wrap up?
I suppose I've referenced it already, but just yet again to acknowledge the fantastic contribution our staff are making. Staff have been absolutely brilliant, and you know, there's some people who have gone so far beyond the bounds of duty and gone that extra mile. That's really helped in terms of our preparedness for what we're facing at the moment, and also just again to acknowledge the support of the community and our colleagues in other healthcare facilities, both the ambulance service, colleagues in the Western Trust and within SAILTA and within the community services. I mean, we are actually all working very, very closely together.
Are you sending staff to the likes of care homes and...
Sorry, we haven't as yet sent staff to care homes, but again, that's been looked at as an option, should it be necessary.